Now to a new and unique Australian dictionary. It's called Parramatta, a dictionary of place and memory, and it's a collection of writings by Parramatta-based writer Yumna Kassab, who was the inaugural Parramatta Laureate in Literature in 2023. Parramatta, of course, is the city that's the commercial, historical and cultural centre of Western Sydney. Yumna says she felt a dictionary could tell the story of a person, her, in connection with the place, Parramatta, with enough flexibility to take in detours, digressions, musings, and general quirkiness. And Parramatta, a dictionary of place and memory, certainly has all of the above. It even includes an entry under R4 Radio National. So I'm very pleased to say that Yumna Kassab joins us now on R4 Radio National. Welcome, Yumna.
Thank you so much.
Firstly, I wonder if you could tell us a bit about your personal history and in particular, your connection with Parramatta.
Yeah, it's a connection that's been there my entire life. I was born in the area. I sort of grew up and went to school here, with the exception of 2.5 years when we lived in Lebanon. And it was also where I wrote my first book, The House of Yusuf, and I do most of my writing, you know, usually in the cafes in and around Parramatta. It is a very important place to me. I'm a very fanatical Western Sydney Wanderers supporter. The minute I start thinking about Parramatta, there are so many intersections to do with education and schooling and working and writing, and it's pretty much where I live my life and have lived here for 7 years.
Now, if I was to look up the word dictionary in other books full of definitions, I'd probably find something different from the way you describe this book, which is as, quote, a memoir and reflection and vision and gathering and story and documentary. So I wonder if you could tell us about your sense of what a dictionary is and why you chose this form.
One of the ideas behind actually having this book as a dictionary is I thought, well, this is a structure that most people are familiar with. You know, generally it's words that are arranged alphabetically. In this Parramatta dictionary, there's a whole series of fragments. I haven't actually counted how many fragments there are, but it ends up being about 340 pages, and they're all arranged under subtitles, arranged alphabetically the way a dictionary would be. And because of the actual structure, it is such a flexible structure. Almost anything can be incorporated within this structure. While if I had thought to do this as, say, essays or a memoir or a short story collection, each one of those actually has their possibilities, but a dictionary structure is incredibly flexible and incredibly expansive, and I think it actually worked well to put together this project.
Were there other dictionary projects that inspired you in adopting this form?
I mean, there are quite a few creative dictionaries. There's one that I mentioned in the introduction. It's called Lexico de Affinidades by Ida Vitale. It's now been translated into English, but I actually bought that book on a trip to Uruguay in 2022. My sense of this book is that it's not just words and definitions as a dictionary. You know, she has these sort of long passages. It's a very creative work. And then the other one I was also thinking of was a book that Jorge Luis Borges did called The Book of Imaginary Beings, where it's all magical beings arranged alphabetical. Technically speaking, it's not really a dictionary, but the book is all these different creatures from, you know, literature, mythology, folklore, and so on, and he's arranged them actually alphabetically. So those are two things that were at the back of my mind.
So the finished product, the dictionary, is obviously organized alphabetically. But Yumna, how did you write the book?
Yeah, so the writing did not happen alphabetically. The writing basically happened. I had this little notebook and I would just take it with me everywhere. And I have found that that as a sort of process is very useful for almost a sort of documentary experience. If you're out and about, you can capture ideas. If you're on the train, on a bus, if you're just sitting in a park, you know, you can capture those sort of small thoughts that aren't necessarily big enough to be an essay or a short story or anything like that. And yeah, so I sort of documented the period of right at the end of November 2023 to about the middle of October 2024. And I did have a sort of cutoff because, you know, it is something I could continue with this project indefinitely. So I think it was good to just have this sort of time markers and to say to myself, okay, I'm done. I'm going to stop here.
In what ways then does this dictionary particularly reflect what was going on for you in your life at that particular time?
So initially I thought it could be a impersonal dictionary, but the minute someone actually starts writing creatively, there is a personal element. And I did think it would also be very strange if I didn't you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, cafes and the wanderers. If it had been someone else writing a dictionary about Parramatta, maybe those things aren't there. But the minute a person actually starts to write, there is a sort of curation via the way of a perspective. And so, yeah, I think that ends up making this almost a time capsule and a document of a particular time where almost everything in this book, even if it isn't obviously connected to Parramatta in some ways, whether it was written in Parramatta or I was reading particular books in Parramatta, it all does lead back to Parramatta.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Yumna Kassab, who's the author of Parramatta, A Dictionary of Place and Memory. And Yumna, you've described for us how you wrote the book. I wanted to ask you another question. How should people read it?
I did almost put a little list down the front of the book so people can write, you know, their way of reading it. I mean, the traditional way to read it is A to Z. I mean, you can also read it Z to A if you want. You can actually pick out the letters of your name. You can pick out the word Parramatta. I mean, there are so many different ways. And I do think it's, there is a book I mentioned in this, which I really love, and it's called Women Who Run With the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. It's a sort of feminist interpretation of folk tales and fairy tales from the early 90s. But the thing I really love about that particular book is I don't think I've ever read this book from the start to the finish. It's not how I read this book. I basically dip in and dip out. So I assume that maybe for the first reading, someone may read it A to Z, but I do think it is a book where, you know, if a person picks up and starts reading at any random page, that I hope it does give the reader something.
At one point, you describe Parramatta as a mind city. What do you mean by that, Yumna?
Yeah, so there are three or four places in the world where I've spent enough time where I can, no matter where else I am in the world, I can imagine them very clearly. And so Parramatta is one. The north of Lebanon, where my parents are from, is another place. Tamworth, where I lived for a few years when I was teaching, and then also Montevideo in Uruguay is another place, just because I've spent a lot of time. And I do think that as a writer, even if you don't necessarily specify the place that you're writing about, that nonetheless, if you situate a story in a place, that place will actually come through. So Parramatta is one of my mind cities. It is one of the cities where I can conjure in my mind no matter where I am in the world.
And you've mentioned the other places that you've lived outside Parramatta. In what ways has living in those places changed your perception of Parramatta, if at all?
So each time I go anywhere, I start sort of referencing home and, you know, I come up with these elaborate sort of parallels. I do think that the biggest influence, other than sort of the experiences I've had in the places that I've mentioned or any place that I've been, is that they maybe sometimes give me different options in terms of where I set my stories or the things that are actually on my radar. So in 2019, 2020, I did a big trip to South America. It was the second trip that I had actually done. And just like the amount of time that was spent traveling, you know, there are certain things that if I had been in Australia at that point, they wouldn't have been on my radar. I probably wouldn't have written Politica. I might not have become so obsessed with Latin America. I might not have come across that book by Ida Vitale. There might not actually be a Parramatta dictionary now. That, you know, every sort of experience a person has, it's a bit hard to measure what the sort of downstream effects of that experience are going to be.
In the book, you also note the connection between a dictionary and a lexicon. And some of the words that you list are words that are specific to Parramatta. Words like five, riverside,
yes,
Roxy. Yeah. Why are they Parramatta words, Yumna?
So five is the sort of community hub in Parramatta Square. I think it's five, the numerical five in the square if we're doing an address. I mean, that is something that does kind of stand out in terms of Parramatta. I would say the park is another one, definitely Parramatta River. The Roxy is a building that is sitting there unused, and it is a sort of historical site. I mean, there are lots of things also in the book that aren't things that people would typically associate with Parramatta. So, I mean, they're sort of things where if a person didn't know Parramatta so much, they might mention the square, they might mention five. It's sort of like the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge, or any place. There are sort of things that distinguish that place. But I mean, there are so many others and probably very personal ones for any person who is familiar with Parramatta.
There are delightful snippets about Parramatta's current geography and commerce through the book, and also snippets of history as well. I loved reading that Parramatta had an inspector of nuisances.
Yeah. So one of the things I tried to do as I was writing this dictionary is to go to as many events as possible, especially literary events, artistic events. And so there was the Parramatta Town Hall was renovated when they were building the Five building. And there was a theatrical production that also involved some audience participation. It is something that I have mentioned in the book, but it also did have a lot of history about Parramatta. And I remember actually when I went to this thinking that I've lived here pretty much my entire life and I've stepped inside the town hall maybe once before. So I think there are lots of events that I went to, you know, across sort of 2024, but it was a sort of conscious choice to go to as many things to kind of document a sort of artistic literary experience in Parramatta.
If you meet a stranger, perhaps in another country, and you're telling them where you're from, how do you describe Parramatta?
How do I describe Parramatta? Firstly, the first thing I would say is that it's actually home. And I think, you know, a person's relationship with home is always quite complicated. But the thing I would actually say about Parramatta that I've put in the book, and it sometimes does come up in conversation, it is, you know, one of the most diverse places on the planet. There's no one, no matter where they are from across this earth, that would actually be out of place in Parramatta. And that's the thing that I, you know, it was there as I was growing up, you know, in terms of my school experience, my classmates, there were so many different nationalities. And it's the thing I always love about this place. So that's the thing that I would say is Parramatta's most distinguishing feature.
What do you regard as the sacred sites of Parramatta, Yumna?
The sacred sites. Well, I mentioned coffee and football, so also the sacred sites are actually the cafe that I ride in most of the time, and probably the Western Sydney Wanderers where they actually play, no matter how terrible their seasons are. Yeah, I would say those, but I think one of the things to really emphasize with this book is, you know, it is a structure that anyone can sort of use to write and document the place or the place that they actually live, and to think about, you know, maybe Parramatta, but also the places that we are most familiar with. And to, yeah, I mean, in the hands of another writer, this would be a very different book, just in terms of the things that I actually pay attention to. I mean, there are a lot of books, there are a lot of writers. There's a lot of coffee. There's quite a bit of history. There's some family and personal detail. Yeah, so it is obviously a very personal book. And so I kind of jokingly say, you know, Parramatta Stadium because of the Wanderers and cafes. But I mean, that's actually where I spend a lot of my time.
One of the things that comes through loud and clear in Parramatta, A Dictionary of Place and Memory, is your love of sport generally, all sorts of sports, but in particular the Wanderers. What is it about the Wanderers that makes them so special to you, and what role do you see them as playing in Parramatta?
Yeah, so I think my obsession, I suppose, with the Wanderers, but broadly football and broadly sport, is that it is something that in a very secular way does bring people together. And I do think that in the instance of the Western Sydney Wanderers, that they were sort of positive reference for the community. And I mean, it is always fun to go watch a game, but I mean, I was watching the final between Spain and Argentina in the Men's World Cup. And obviously something such as football or a game is a microcosm of, you know, broader and bigger things in the world. But I do think that in a similar way that, you know, when I watch the Wanderers, you know, obviously there's a game. If they win or lose genuinely, I am not particularly fussed and I don't really care. It's more about the community around the team. It's, you know, a sort of positive thing also in the community. That's the thing that I actually care about.
And I think as you write, a team can buy players, but you can't buy supporters.
No, you definitely can't buy supporters. And I think it is. Obviously, you know, it is the community that makes the club, and that is the most important aspect.
Well, Yumna, thank you so much for talking Parramatta with us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much, Julian.
The book is Parramatta, A Dictionary of Place and Memory. Its author is Yumna Kassab, who in 2023 became the inaugural Parramatta Laureate in Literature. And by the way, the latest Parramatta Laureate in Literature is the Turkish-Australian essayist and fiction writer from Western Sydney, Edda Gunaydın.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.